Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Prosper Gold, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol PGX and on the OTCQX under the symbol PGXFF. Chad and I are chatting with the Vice President of Exploration, Rory Ritchie. Now, Rory, we're following up on a news release that came out a couple days ago, October 20th. Title says, Prosper Gold identifies gold-bearing system at Golden Corridor, commences phase two drilling. This is all happening at the Golden Sidewalk Project in Red Lake, Ontario. Now, these drill results that were released, about 40% of the 15,000 meters that has been drilled, they were included in this news release. And Rory, look, we have to address the fact that the market did sell off on the back of these results. What can you tell us about what you guys learned with this first 40% of assay results that were released here, please?
Yeah, you bet, Corey. Yeah, so we recently finished the 15,000 meter phase one program, which was really a reconnaissance drilling program that tested over 4 kilometers of the favorable structural corridor there. And what we've outlined is a 1 kilometer kind of coherent alteration footprint where we're seeing mineralization. Mineralization to this point hasn't been high grade, but really at 100 to 300 meter step outs, you wouldn't necessarily expect that. What we are seeing is consistent alteration. It's the right type of alteration. And we are seeing gold. We have seen native gold in a number of holes. Some of those assays are pending. And really, the most recent drilling of that phase one program was tighter in, 100 meter step outs to 50 meter step outs drilling that zone from the south. And so we expect some more news coming from those holes once assays are received. But generally, as mentioned, a reconnaissance program, we found a zone. It's a hydrothermal system where there's gold. And now it's time to get down to business and do some tighter drilling and vector in on that high grade.
Yeah, Rory, and people should keep in mind it's a first pass on the drilling. So it's not common to come out and have a giant discovery hole right out of the gate. That's always nice if it can happen. But you guys have learned a lot from this. You still have 60% of the results that you're pending assays. But one of the remarks you made, it kind of off mics to us, was that it's a little bit of a swampy area. It wasn't the ideal, there's some of the angles that you had and the vectoring wasn't as ideal as it will be once it freezes. So why don't you walk us through that and how the winter drilling will actually give you access to some areas that'll be helpful.
So the swamp itself is about 7 kilometers. It's about 200 meters wide. And that swamp really is the surface expression of the significant fault zone that is within this ultramafic unit. And all the stratigraphy dips at about a 60 degree dip to the north. Now, just based on topography and kind of the geomorphology, we were forced in the summer months and fall months to drill from the south towards the north. So we were hitting the stratigraphy as well as the veins at a low angle. Really just limits your efficiency and the exploration potential because you're not intersecting enough of these veins, with a 300 to 350 meter hole. So once it freezes up, this is a big part of phase two. Once that we can get down on that swamp and we can go to the northern edge of that swamp and drill to the south, well, then we're hitting the veins and the stratigraphy at a much more, a higher angle, which is important. And really one other thing that maybe didn't come across in that news release is that what we're targeting is these are high grade ore chute Red Lake style type targets, and really in this case you need to the stratigraphy, which are these inner beds of basalt within this larger ultramafic unit, that really needs to coincide with the vein systems and the faults. So there's two variables there, and when you're drilling with a bit of a handicap from the south, it's hard to target both efficiently. So once we move to the north, we can hit that at a closer to square angle. And we can really start to target not only the veins, but the lithology. And that's where we should see some blowouts and hopefully some higher grade.
So, Rory, can you summarize what now the company knows at least a little bit more about this general Golden Corridor here? Because it says that the 15,000 meters tested 4 kilometers and you have found gold mineralization over an area of 1 kilometer by 100 meters. How does this all tie together for the bigger picture here now that you have some of the results?
Yeah, so I think another aspect that was perhaps lost in that news release was that, 15,000 meters is a lot of drilling, but that was over a huge area, wide step outs, 100 to 300 meter step outs. And we certainly that the structural corridor, exists along that entire length. But what you need is some kind of localization. I mean, the odds of getting a 4 kilometer deposit are pretty slim, at least with this style of mineralization. And so what we've seen is there's some cross structures that come at about a 30 degree angle into that larger east-west structural corridor. And that's what's kind of localizing, hydrothermal fluid flow and subsequent gold mineralization. So we're seeing the right kind of alteration. And by right, I mean, the Red Lake style, which is anchorite alteration and as you get a bit closer, you get biotite alteration. We're seeing the veins, they're all behaving like we want them to when they're in the basalts. They're bigger and they're mineralized, but when you're in the ultramafics, not so much, because that's a tighter rock that's kind of resistant to brittle fractures. So the setup is there. It's very favorable for high-grade mineralization in the sense that these basalt panels within this ultramafic unit are receptive units, but they are hard to target. I mean, you just need a tighter drilling, and really drilling from the north side, all of a sudden we can start to model things up and then really start to focus in and vector in on some ore shoots.
Well, and Rory, you mentioned that some of the drilling that you've done more recently is those tighter step outs of maybe 50 meters to 100 meters instead of the 300 to 400. It is hard to find something when you're doing such huge step outs, but is the plan on the phase two then going to be doing more infill drilling in between some of the step outs you've done to see, maybe if there were some areas that got, jumped over that you could go back and drill? And then the other part of that would be when you do start honing in on something, Red Lake is also known for having very deep deposits and some of the high grade shows up at depth. So would you do step out drilling to kind of vector in on the area and then start plunging a little bit deeper after that?
Yeah, 100%. So for the first time, drilling from the north will actually be able to target up and down dip. That's a huge disadvantage to not be able to do that, which was the case in the first place. We were just kind of stepping out laterally, and really you're hitting it at the same elevation. And we got to be thinking in 3D for these systems. They are vertically extensive, but they're not necessarily vertically continuous. I mean, these things come and go, and especially that second variable of the lithology that you're targeting these panels as well as the vein systems themselves. So it'll be a huge advantage to be able to drill from the north. Tighter spacing, we'll start with about 80 meter spacings, and you can always infill to 40 or something like that. Those are kind of the spacings you want, and then you can start to put things together, and really things start to come together a lot more nice. So from the north we can target a little deeper. Like I said, yeah, these things aren't necessarily vertically continuous. So there's a whole another dimension here that we haven't tested, and that's the vertical dimension.
So what's this phase two program going to look like? Summarize it for us in terms of meters, in terms of how long it will take. What else can you give us insights wise into this phase two program?
So the phase two, yeah, it's kind of, right now I'm personally on the ground, I'm just kind of planning 5,000 meters at a time here. We do want to get the stock up, and potentially, look at a financing down the road. But really, at least the original intent was 20 to 25,000 meters. And that's what it takes to drill something off at a, let's just call it a 40 meter spacing. I mean, all of a sudden, you need a lot of meters to really kind of define something. So as mentioned, the first 5,000 meters, it will be infill drilling on the swamp once it freezes up here in the next few weeks. And targeting from the north more efficiently, and we'll test that whole 1 kilometer by 100 meter zone, and undoubtedly we'll come up with some better intercepts. And then, as mentioned again, we still have assays pending for some of that tighter space drilling from the south. But we're also testing some of these other maglow targets to the east that happen to be up ice of some pretty spectacular till samples too. So there's whole other, these are discrete targets about maybe 800 to 1200 meters away. And so we'll be testing those, and that'll be hopefully present a lot of exploration upside. But really, at least what I'm excited about is to get it down to work and start drilling off the system we've identified. And as mentioned, undoubtedly we'll come up with some better numbers.
Well, Rory, you mentioned that you're going to go 5,000 meters at a time on the Phase 2 program, and that eventually, you know, after some more results come in, you may want to do a capital raise. Just remind folks, what is the budget for those 5,000 meters when you do those in Phase 2 incrementally, and what kind of money does the company have in the treasury?
Yeah, so we currently have $3.8 million in the treasury. And now that we're all set up, the infrastructure's in place, we have pretty significant camp and there were some capital expenditures and this and that. So it's pretty simple now, ballpark anyway, you're looking at about $1 million per 5,000 meters. And so that represents a 200 meter or $200 per meter all in cost. We should be able to come in under that, but you can safely budget $1 million per 5,000 meters. So we could do five and then we could do another five if need be, but really, we're keen to get the stock price up and look at equity financing.
All right, Rory, we're going to wrap it up there. Appreciate you handling some of these questions on the back of that news. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will get Rory to address those. We will also follow up as the other 60% of that 15,000-meter program, those results are released, and also follow up to see how that Phase 2 program is progressing. So, Rory, appreciate your time, and please keep us up to date on some future news.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks, Corey. Thanks, Chad. Appreciate it.